tell the story about General Trudeau one day delivering to you a file cabinet.
Yes. Well, he gave me the file cabinet, and he said, Phil, there's some things in there. I want you to develop a program for utilization and exploitation of these.
Utilization and exploitation.
With applied engineering. That means go out to industry and people are working on this. You find them, you develop a plan for me.
All right, here you had a file cabinet full of all this stuff. Where did he say it came from?
He didn't tell me. He said, it's in there, Phil. It'll tell you where it came from.
So normally you were working with Soviet stuff or German stuff or whatever.
Yes.
So I would think that at that moment you probably thought that's exactly what was in the cabinet.
Yeah, well, I had three-drawer cabinet, master safe. And the top drawer was, I used to, General Trudeau used to kid me and says, that's Corso's junk drawer.
Yeah.
And the UFOs fly in and out of that drawer. And because when I'd lay these artifacts on the table, they look like junk. So he laughed about that and said, of course, it was junk pile.
What was in your junk pile, Colonel?
Well, there was a piece of metal, about a piece of postcard, and the atoms were lined up and aligned in it.
The atoms were aligned in it?
Aligned. That made it give you terrific strength. Radiation wouldn't pass through. And he gave me the instruction. He told me one day, he said, Phil, I'm going to appoint a special team, and you're in charge, and the general that John just talked about knows about that team, because he was there at the time. He was a colonel with me. And that team, he told me this. He said, Phil, this is bigger than Los Alamos. Space vehicles, light as a feather, can travel space, no radiation can penetrate it, and nothing can harm them. Because it was paper thin, but the strength was terrific. You couldn't dent it, we couldn't scratch it or anything. Of course, and he told me also, if you find anybody is even coming close to this, fund it. And I had the German scientist work with me on that.
So at that point, you took that and you tried to turn it over to somebody in industry and funded them because you had that power.
Yes, we did. I had the power to fund it.
And basically said, back engineer this or figure out what it is, figure out how to make it?
Well, Livermore Lab up at MIT analyzed it for us.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, the atoms were lined up in it. I wrote them a letter, and I also wrote Walter Reed a letter. Walter Reed said, started some interesting discussion there, and my co-author has the letter. And then I wrote to Livermore, and I asked them the question whether they could supply any. They said, do you remember the contract how it read? That we would send all copies back to you and keep nothing here. And they were right.
A technical correction, by the way, that's Lincoln Lab.
Oh, that's
MIT.
Lincoln. You're right, John. I'm glad you caught that. That was Lincoln Lab. Livermore's on California. So they did that, and they remind me that we made them send all copies back to us to keep nothing in their file.
Uh-huh.
And we funded after all, so they did that. Then I had a... Now, this is an interesting story, Art. I had a piece of looked like string.
String.
The atoms were aligned in it. It was so tough you couldn't burn it, and you couldn't even cut it.
Was it metallic, or was it light string or cord? Like thread?
Like cloth. It looked like it.
All right.
The nearest thing in this world that we found that was nearest that was a spider web. Terrific strength. You can stretch a spider web for miles. The spider spins it and aligns the atoms in it. And you can stretch it 5-10 miles before it bends and won't break. And then it springs back into space. Now, we funded that with Wyoming University. We made flak jackets out of it. Only we couldn't make flak jackets because we couldn't get enough of it. We tried to get them to clone the spider, and I think to this day they haven't succeeded.
Huh.
But there's terrific strength in that, in the spider web. Marvelous thing. Atoms are aligned.
Atoms are aligned. Dr. Alexander, now with two pieces of material from this file cabinet that ultimately, I guess, came from Roswell, atoms are aligned. Can you explain that?
Not very easily, actually. What I understand what he's talking about is that by instead of having a random selection of the atoms, that they were able to establish the polarity in such a way that the strength was greatly increased.
You're right, John.
But they were actually not able to duplicate the metal. Is that correct?
Well, we failed in that, Art.
Failed.
We were never able to do it.
All right.
Now, we invented a small atomic engine that's in the Saturn probes and the Mars probes.
Yes.
It was our little iron engine that we built at Fort Belvoir. And we could never harden that, so we couldn't put it in anything that man could travel in it, because we couldn't harden it and keep the radiation out.
Some other materials from that filing cabinet, for example, this fiber that you're talking about,
yes,
actually turned out to be what we now know as fiber optics. Is that right?
I had a fiber optics was. I had a bunch of. It looked like wires. I really didn't know what it was. And
right.
Light was emitted from. There must have been a power source in it. And then we sent that, I think, to Monmouth that went. And from that, that was a development of fiber optics. But in those days, we didn't even know what it was, Art.
So you just sent it over and said, figure it out?
Yes, we gave it to our labs. That was our labs.
And once again, they weren't doing this gratis or for an investigation. You were commissioning them. You had budget money.
Exactly.
Research and development money that came along with these items you
exactly.
were giving them.
We had a budget then which was tremendous. It was about $2
billion. $2 billion.
Now, we also gave out RDT&D contracts, Research, Development, Test, and Evaluation contracts. The first item that would be built from a research contract, we funded the building to the first one. Then after that, other people, you know, other agencies funded it. So we would fund these until it was actually developed. And we had our own laboratories, our atomic labs, and the night viewing labs were our labs at Fort Belvoir.
So what,
existence.
Colonel, what aspect of this were you overseeing? In other words, once you gave somebody a piece of this technology and a budget, what did you then do?
Well, I was supposed to keep track of it, of how it was coming along. For example, I went down to the night viewing device lab one day, and I had their budget in my pocket. And the general told me, go down, see how they're getting along. And I took one of the German scientists with me and two Army engineers. We looked it over, and the commander there told me he had misgivings when he heard I was coming. I told him, is my reputation that bad? And then I told him, but in this case, it's a little different. Look at my German friend. He's smiling. He usually doesn't smile. And not only that, but since you're doing such a good job, here's your budget. And I handed him the envelope I had in my pocket. And I told him, but there's a hitch to that. The war is heating up in Vietnam. We need this viewing device for the troops with 3 to 6 months. They did it. And John knows he had one of the weapons or one of the rangefinders.
Well, as a matter of fact, Dr. John Alexander has been, would it be fair to say, Doctor, a developer of non-lethal technologies for years?
That's correct.
Doctor, can you, in essence, back up any aspect of this regarding night vision? In other words, was this? Can you see a linear development anywhere with regard to night vision, or was it a sudden jump that would tend to back up what Colonel Corso is suggesting?
It's hard to say, and I've got to say, when Phil and I first talked about this and how they went about it, he described a classic black program in which it folds back in on itself, is almost untraceable, because remember what he said, and this is in Phil's words, they found people who were already working the field
sure.
so that it would not show up as here's something, you know, totally out of the blue.
So it could look as though it were some sort of natural progression.
Right. Yeah, the ultimate problem with, you know, if Phil is right, it means that we have to rewrite science. And you're going to, I mean...
We also have to rewrite history.
Well, I'm talking about the history of science, because it means that, you know, everything up to Nobel Prizes and people who have been awarded money and patents and all of that...
should not have
got
been.
Some help.
Now, we encouraged industry to take the patents, and I have supported this in a pamphlet written in 1963 by General Britton. we encouraged them to take the patents as long as they developed it.
Well, the alternative to that would be to tell everybody where it came from, so
right.
There was no choice.
Well, we couldn't do that because the climate opinion, they had destroyed our organization, Art.
I'm certain they would have. At some point, you must have sat down with General Trudeau, and obviously after you realized what you had on your hands in this cabinet, all of this technology, and you must have had a serious conversation with the general about where it came from, or did you never do that?
Oh, we did, almost every day.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you another thing, Art, you got to remember, too, how some of the developments came from the back door. In intelligence, you check also not actually what has happened, but you check omissions.
Right.
I walked in the general one day, and I told him, General, I got something here that's very serious. Now, I got to let you know, and we got to decide what to do. I told him, number one, there's no food aboard this flying saucer. No refrigeration facilities. There's no water. There's no toilet facilities. There's no recreation facilities.
Colonel, I've got to stop you and back up a little bit. You just said something quite remarkable. On this flying saucer, does that imply that you had a craft?
Well, not that we had in the Army, but I had the reports on the craft.
You had the reports?
Yes.
All right. Did these reports come to you along with the filing cabinet full of all these?
They did. They were in the top drawer of the filing cabinet.
So you had a full report on the craft they had recovered?
Yes. Well, as full as it could be in those days from what they saw.
I understand. Here you had the autopsy reports on the beings, extraterrestrial biological entities, robots virtually.
Or the Sumerians called them Igigis. Igigis.
And then you had a report on the craft itself. Now, you said there were no facilities, and what you've told me of the extraterrestrial biological entities, it makes sense. They wouldn't need all that, would they?
No, they wouldn't. And also, when a general asked me, what do you think is, how do they survive? Well, I had Tesla's reports. And Tesla, you know, he was the genius in New York and then went out to New Mexico. He actually set up his generator right up there at Colorado Springs.
Yes, sir.
And Tesla, in one of his writings, he had that the body itself is an electrical entity. Our bodies. The cells are electrical. And you can propagate our system by electromagnetism. And Tesla actually said this. And I told the general, maybe this is a key, general, that they propagate themselves by electromagnetism. Because we knew that their guidance system was electromagnetic because of the way it affected some of our missiles and other items.
Right.
So, for those emissions, we started what we called irradiated foods.
I'll be damned.
I told him this, we flew down the Quartermaster, or that was in Richmond, Virginia, and they fed us a steak that had been on the shelf for 2 years, no refrigeration. And irradiated food today, it kills salmonella in chicken, it kills trichina in pork. Yeah, we won't put on the market because of do-gooders, and it's harmless. And the American Science Agency in New York has stated that it's harmless, yet the do-gooders won't put it out because it says radiation.
So that's another technology that came from them.
It came through the back door, let's say.